Hello, everybody, and welcome here to this time of worship. Stuart and Judy here at Carey Baptist Church in Moulton. Welcome to our regular listeners and welcome to those listening from further afield. You're all welcome to join with us. Let's commit this time to God in prayer. Let us pray. Father, as we listen together online, as we come here to worship you, to hear your word, to pray together, to hear from you, we pray that your Holy Spirit would connect us with each other and with you, and that you would bless us and encourage us by this time that we spend together now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're now entering into the third week of Advent, and we've been open the last Sunday, and this Sunday we'll be open again, and we light our Advent wreath. So I've got a candle here. If you've got a candle at home, press pause and then you can go and light your candle as we enter into the third week of Advent, where we remember John the Baptist. So first of all, I'm going to light the candle. I've got my nice Christmas candle here that smells of frankincense and myrrh. So I'll light the candle. We light this candle, the third Advent candle, to remind us of John the Baptist and of all God's messengers who prepare the way of the Saviour's coming. The Apostle John writes, God sent his messenger, a man named John, who came to tell people about the light, that all should hear his message and believe. Amen. And Judy's going to come now and bring our reading from the scriptures, which is from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 6 to 8 and verses 19 to 28. So that's John, first chapter, verses 6 to 8 and then verses 19 to 28.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Now this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, I am not the Messiah. They asked him, then who are you? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. Finally, they said, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord. Now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? I baptize with water, John replied, but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. This all happened at Bethany, on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing.
Thank you, Jody. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And we pray that as we seek to interpret it and apply it to our own lives and situation, that your Holy Spirit would come, would take these words and bring them to life and make them a living word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're now in the third week of Advent, and we remember John the Baptist and see him as a role model for preparing the way for Jesus. John was a wild, hairy man with a big beard. It seems that more men are going down that road or that route in recent months, going a bit feral, growing the old fuzzy facial hair, growing beards. I saw my dad the other week on Zoom, and he was looking a bit like an older John the Baptist, looking a bit wild, looking a bit feral at this time. I have a soft spot for John, a wild prophet living outside the system, foraging on locusts and wild honey. He reminds me a bit of that cartoon character who I grew up with, Captain Caveman. Captain Caveman! Some of you will remember him, although some of you won't. But there's a sense of almost like a primeval wildness about John the Baptist that appeals to part of my personality. Although I think John would have been a difficult man to have been around. But we do need wild prophets like John. Who are the wild prophets today who challenge us, who call us to repentance and change our lives? We might think of little Greta Thunberg reminding us of the dangers of climate change, or think of the protesters protesting about racism and Black Lives Matter, who call into question the racism and the institutionalized injustice that is part of our societies. Going back to John. John, first of all, was sent by God. He was a prophet. In verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. So he's been sent by God as a prophet. And we also may not be prophets, but we are sent by God. God sends us on a mission. And what is that mission? That mission is to be a witness, which comes in verse 7. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. John was called to be a witness, and we also are called to be witnesses. The word witness comes from the Greek martes, from which we get our word martyr, someone who lays down their life for their faith or their beliefs. We are all called to be witnesses, pointing people to Jesus. Not easy to do, but by our lives and our words, we should point people to Jesus. Do people look at us and see something of Jesus, of his character, of what he is like? John the Baptist was big on repentance. He called people to repentance, to repent of their sins and to turn, for the coming kingdom of God was coming. And we need to repent, which means we need to change our minds, to change our lives. We need to repent of our lack of love, our lack of boldness, our lack of faithfulness to God, and how we fail him and each other. When we think of the word witness, it often has an image of perhaps being in court and giving evidence, or also witness as in witnessing to Jesus, evangelism. Now, evangelism is a difficult subject to engage with, and it's hard to do well, but sharing the good news about Jesus is part of our calling, and we should do it in loving and sensitive ways. Sometimes people try to bully people into becoming Christians, and that's not a good way to evangelize. But we do have good news to share about God's love and God's forgiveness. And it's something that most of us struggle to do, but doesn't mean we're absolved from that as part of our calling. Looking at John, who was John? What was his identity? The Jewish leaders sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. And he was saying, who are you? What is your identity? And he replied, I am not the Messiah. So he knew he wasn't the promised Messiah. They might have thought he was. He came from the priestly family. His father, Zechariah, was a priest on duty in the temple. So it was often passed down the family line. So he would have been seen as a potential priest himself. And here's this wild man living in the wilderness, calling people to be repentant and to be baptized. And they've come out to see who he was. And he knew he wasn't the Messiah. And neither are we. We're not omnicompetent. We need each other We can't do everything ourselves. Collectively, we all have gifts given by God through which we can serve the common good. Some people have a Messiah complex and think they can do everything. But John wasn't like that. He knew that he was not the Messiah. And then they asked him, "Are you Elijah? Are you the prophet?" Elijah was expected to come before the Messiah, and the prophet was expected to prepare the way for him. And he said, "No, I'm neither of those." And finally, they say, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to the people who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" And he replies by quoting the prophet Isaiah. And he says, "I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord." So he's crying out in the wilderness, in the desert, preparing the way for the coming Lord, for the coming Messiah. And sometimes it can feel like that for us too, that we can be voices in the wilderness, crying out when nobody is really listening. But we, like John, should make the way for the Lord, for Jesus, to prepare the way for him. That is our task also. We are called to prepare people, to make way in people's lives, for people to meet Jesus, to get rid of the obstacles that come between them and God, to get rid of their wrong conceptions about what God's like, or some of the questions that they have to wrestle with before they can come to faith. Sometimes there needs to be a lot of preparatory work done there. And also, looking at John, we see the humility of John. In verses 26 and 27, "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." John puts Jesus first, and he's aware of his own unworthiness even to untie his sandals, which would be the slave's job to do, a degrading task to do. But he doesn't even feel worthy to do that. He's aware of his unworthiness in front of the Messiah, of Jesus, who is coming. And I like his humility here. And we can learn from that. Nothing is below us as servants of Jesus. Cleaning the toilets, putting the chairs out, none of these things are below us. And I'd like to say thank you to all who's helped to keep the church clean in recent weeks, when we were without a cleaner to make sure it was safe in our COVID environment. And a special thank you to Meryl and Rosie, who did numerous interviews to get a cleaner. And the good news is that we now have a cleaner who's called Denise. So I would ask you to pray for her as she cleans the church and makes it safe for us. John was a bold voice for truth, and in the end it cost him his head. It cost him his life for criticizing Herod's living arrangements, for criticizing Herod stealing his brother's wife and living in an adulterous relationship there. Ultimately, his commitment to the truth cost him his very life. And being a witness to Jesus is unlikely to cost us our heads. But we may lose friends, or it may cause problems in our family relationships, being a follower of Jesus. But are we prepared to put our heads above the parapet, to speak out for justice and truth like John? Or will we just settle for an easy life? We need more wild men and women like John. Beards are optional, but commitment to being witnesses to Jesus, the light of the world, is not. May God stir up in us the fire and the wildness of John the Baptist. And may we, like him, point others to Jesus, so that many may come to believe in him who is the true light that gives light to everyone who comes to him. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the wildness of John the Baptist. We thank you for his courage and commitment. May we be like him, witnesses who point away from ourselves to your Son, Jesus, who is the light of the world. And may people find in him meaning and purpose and forgiveness. And help us during this Christmas season, in this strange Christmas, to point people to Jesus, that they may find true life in him. In his name we pray. Amen. One of our church members, Jill Holton, will now lead us in some prayers of intercession.
Dear Lord, thank you for this day. We thank you for our Christian family who we are missing this year. Among them are so many who are hurting, needing, or lonely. We lift them up to you and ask that you would bless them, help them, heal them. We pray for our country that now we have a COVID vaccine, we can start to move on. Pray for poor old Boris as he tries his best to serve our country and that he can sort out Brexit next year. We pray for peace in the world as we near to Christmas and your promise of the peace on earth. We bring our friends and families before you. Some don't know you, Lord, but we ask that you intercede for them, fulfilling their needs according to your will. We just ask you, Lord, that you help us all, that you will look after us and guide us. All that we have is yours, and we surrender all to you. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Thank you, Jill, for your prayers of intercession, and thank you for joining us. Next Sunday is the 20th, and we'll be doing a short recording because we've got a carol service at church with limited numbers and social distancing and no singing, which will be a bit strange. But and then we'll be having a break until the 3rd of January. So we'll see you back then if you want to join us. So I'll close with a blessing. Look forward in hope to the coming of your Saviour. Prepare the way for Christ your Lord, and welcome him with love and faith when he comes in glory. And the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen. Thank you for joining with us, and go well, and God bless.